With shouting and singing and jubilant ringing, their arms of rebellion cast down. At last every nation, the Lord of salvation, their King and Redeemer shall crown. The kingdom is coming, oh, tell ye the story. God's banner exalted shall be. The earth shall be full of his knowledge and glory, as waters that cover the sea. You picked up on that chorus, didn't you? Sing it with me, okay? The kingdom is coming, oh, tell ye the story. God's banner exalted shall be. The earth shall be full of his knowledge and glory, as waters that cover the sea. Thank you very much.
Well, it's nice when the congregation is able to join in with the special singers, isn't it? I was brought up that way. Often when we had somebody singing, it was a common thing that you all joined in the chorus. One time I was invited to a very special function away in another town from where I lived. I was part of the program, certain things I had to do, and there had a whole array of people on that big platform. We had a special quartet party. Then there was a duet, and then a soloist, and I don't know all they had. I was told after that what I did was out of order. That's nothing unusual, but still. This soloist, real deep baritone voice, I was told after he was a professional, he was a gold medalist, whatever that signifies, I don't know. But the hymn he started to sing, I happen to know it. And when it came to the chorus, I joined in to help him through. I don't see anything wrong with that. And when I joined in, the rest joined in. I understand he frowned a little. And I was told afterwards by a friend of mine that said, you know, Bill, that is not the thing to do with a professional singer. Well, I wasn't accustomed to professional singers. I was just accustomed to people that sang from the heart and tried to stir you up. And I liked that hymn, Bobby. That's even in the wonderful. The day will come when we'll see the King in all his beauty and all his wonders. What a day that will be when his glory shall cover the whole earth. I don't think the men of the world today understand that, but God's people should. May I ask you to open your Bibles to the second book of Chronicles, chapter 9. We'll read here about a king and someone who saw his glory. Second Chronicles, chapter 9. When the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to prove Solomon with hard questions at Jerusalem, with a very great company, and camels that bear spices and gold in abundance, precious stones. When she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. Solomon told her all her questions, and there was nothing hid from Solomon which he told her not. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, his cupbearers also, and their apparel, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, There was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in mine own land of thine acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not their words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the one half of the greatness of thy wisdom was not told me, for thou exceedest the fame that I heard. Happy are thy men, and happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on his throne, to be king for the Lord thy God, because thy God loved Israel to establish them forever. Therefore made he thee king over them to do judgment and justice." And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, and of spices great abundance, and precious stones. Neither was there any such spice as the queen of Sheba gave King Solomon. And the servants also of Huram, and the servants of Solomon, which brought gold from Ophir, brought algum trees and precious stones. And the king made of the algum trees terraces to the house of the Lord, and to the king's palace, and harps and psalteries for singers. And there were none such seen before in the land of Judah. And King Solomon gave to the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, besides that which she had brought unto the king. So she turned and went away to her own land, she and her servants. Now let us turn over to the New Testament. Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, we'll find a text here that fits in with what we've read in the Old Testament. Chapter 12 of Matthew and verse 42. "The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here." Sure, the Lord have blessed to us the reading of the scriptures. Let us bow for prayer. Again, our God, we acknowledge thee, for thou art the great eternal God, for the privilege of being able to come and speak to thee. We give thee thanks. We think of thy beloved Son, who was once on this earth and went by way of Calvary and Olivet back to the glory. O God, wilt thou quieten our hearts now for the remainder of this hour, and concentrate our thoughts on thy beloved Son. Save some precious soul today. Be careful to give thee the glory in his worthy name. Amen. I've been thinking a little this week about this great woman, the Queen of the South, the Lord called her, the Queen of Sheba. Now think for a moment or two of the position she occupied in life. She occupied a position of rule. Unusual, but there she was. We're not told how she came to occupy that position, whether it was because of her relationship to her father, and she inherited the throne after his death. We're not told anything about that. Certainly she wasn't voted in, I don't suppose, by the vote of the people. That wasn't known in these days. But one way or another, she was occupying a throne. She was a queen in her own rights. She had the place of rule in the world. I'll be very frank with you. I wouldn't like to be in the position of any of those people today who are in the place of rule. I care not whether it's the President of the United States or Maggie Thatcher, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, or Mr. Gorbachev in Russia. I wouldn't like to occupy the place of any of them. Any person today who's in the place of rule has a grave responsibility. And I'm perfectly sure of this in my own soul, that when I lay my head down on the pillow at night and go to sleep, and by the way, I can go to sleep without taking any of those special pills and tablets that you've got to take to make you sleep. I can sleep. My difficulty is getting awake. But I believe I can sleep a lot easier than those who occupy the place of rule. They must have a lot of worries. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, they have burdens to carry. But here was a woman who was in the place of rule, and the strange thing is today, there are crowds of people who are grasping for it. It's their ambition. They're not content just to be plain John Doe. They're groping and grasping for the place that's higher up. They want the place of authority, the place of rule. Even now they're vying with one another for this week for the vote. Promising you anything. They're very promising men when they're running for office, you know. Promise you anything at all, which they know perfectly well they're not able to fulfill, but still, there you are. The simple folks believe it. That's what Mr. Chamberlain said way back in 1938 when he signed the Munich Agreement and sold out Czechoslovakia. When he came home and made his speech, he says, all we want is the simple life for the simple people. And that was perfectly true. A lot of simple people were taken in. And they're still preaching the same thing, simple life for the simple people. Yet people want that place of authority in works. They all want to be the foreman or the boss. No one wants to do what he's told. He wants to be the one that tells. You know that's true. Well, here was a woman who had already made it. Queen, in her own right, a ruler. But over and above that, she was a woman who possessed great riches. It may be that you're an exception to the rule, and you don't want the place of authority. But can I place you in here in the second bracket? She already was in possession of great riches. You know, today they have all sorts of things. You get them in the mail, I get them in the mail. My wife said, we don't even open them. Just tear them up and drop them into the bucket, first of all, amongst the trash. Don't even look at them. You may have one, you know, you may have, yeah. Chances are one in a million. You may have. Well, why did they do this? Why is it that these things are dangled before you? For the simple reason that sitting somewhere deep down here in the human breast, there's a desire for the possession of these things. Oh, if only I had so much, you know, right here. If a man only could acquire so much, then of course he could retire, take his ease, eat, drink, and be merry. So the man in the Bible said. God says, you fool, this night thy soul is required of thee. Well, here was a woman who had already made it. She was in possession of a tremendous amount of riches. But that leads me to the thing that's been stinging my heart all week as I've been looking again at this woman. There was something in her life that was missing. In spite of the fact that she could sit on the throne, make the rules, no one to tell her what to do, what not to do, she gave the word and she had to be obeyed. So far as riches were concerned, she had an abundance of them. She could give them away. But in her life there was something missing. There were problems in her life. There were perplexities in her life. There was something that was void here. Something she didn't have. She couldn't tell you what it was, but she was anxious for it. A lot of people like that. Something they want, they don't know what it is, and they'll never be content till they get it. You know the style. Well, what was it that was troubling this woman? She didn't know God. And she had no connection with the living God. Oh, she had her gods. Oh, yes. She had been the very center of an idolatrous people. But you know, so far as these problems were concerned, one day, a little light began to dawn into her life. This little streak. And it came by way of listening. One day she heard. She heard about a man in Jerusalem by the name of Solomon. She heard about his fame. And through that she heard about the name of his God. And that was what caught her. You see, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Here was a woman who was disposed to this, to listen. She was willing to listen. I've often wondered, who was she listening to? How did this message get abroad? Who was it that told about the fame of Solomon? Who was it that told about his God who had made him king? And about the glory that surrounded him up there in Jerusalem. I wonder who bore the message. We're not told. Some nameless person had been at Jerusalem. They'd learned something about Solomon, learned something about his greatness and his glory and his wisdom and his wealth. And down they come and they're spreading it around and they're telling about the fame of Solomon, this great king. And he got home to her. And she realized there was a connection between Solomon's glory and Solomon's God. What Solomon had been given to him by his God, the God of Israel. But she wasn't content just to hear. Said the Lord, when speaking to the Pharisees and his enemies, when he was here on earth, he says, the day will come when the Queen of the South shall rise up in the judgment, bear witness against you. For she came when she heard of the wisdom of Solomon. She came. She was prepared to make the journey. She didn't simply sit down and say, now I wonder if I should send some ambassador up there to make contact for this man. And perhaps he could come down and visit me. No, she didn't do that. She got her camel train all ready. And the chariots all prepared. Off they went. A whole journey to Jerusalem in order to have contact with this great man she had heard about called Solomon. She heard about his fame. She heard about the name of the Lord. She came to inquire. Not content just to hear from somebody else. She wanted personal contact. She wanted to see for herself. And when she came, she was convinced and went back home satisfied. But do you know, there was a man in the New Testament who said one day when someone told him something, people he understood, people he knew, his friends, they told him. And he looked at them, he said, "You know, I don't believe you." "You don't believe us?" "No. And I'm not going to believe until I can see him for myself. If I see the Lord for myself and I can see the nail prints in his hand and the spear wound in his side, then I'll believe." And when he did see him, and the Lord said, "Thomas, there's a nail print, put your finger in there. There's the spear wound, why don't you put your..." He fell down and said, "My Lord and my God." Do you remember what the Lord said? He reminded Thomas he had believed because he saw. He said, "But blessed are those who believe and have not seen." Faith doesn't come by seeing, you know. Faith comes by believing. Faith cometh by hearing and believing. "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved," says the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing. But here was a woman. Remember, she was a heathen woman. She didn't know these truths that are made known in the New Testament. She heard about Solomon. She decided to put it to the test. "I'll go and see him for myself. I'll take all my problems to him." She was in the place, you see, where she had to face a lot of problems. You think you're the only person who's got problems? Again, I remind you where I started. These people in high places have a lot more problems than we have. And the unfortunate thing is they don't have the answer to their problems. And their advisors don't seem to have the answer to their problems. But you and I should know what the answer to the problem is, exactly what our brother's been singing about. When the King comes and his glory fills the whole earth, that will be the answer to the earth's problem. And only then. The Lord is the answer to the problem. But here she heard of Solomon, the man of great wisdom. "I'll go and see him. I've heard about him. I'll spread all my problems before him and see if he can give me the solution to my problems." Friend, let me ask you this. When the Lord was speaking about these things in the New Testament, he said, "She'll rise up in the judgment against you. For she came." And he says, "Behold, a greater than Solomon is here." Now, we cannot take anything from the greatness of Solomon. But when you see the greatness of Solomon, you've got to rise to a higher, much higher level and see the greater than Solomon. You see, Solomon, it's perfectly true, received wisdom from God. It wasn't just a matter of knowledge, it was wisdom. Now, a lot of people have a lot of knowledge, but they haven't got the wisdom to know how to use it. You know, knowledge is no good unless you've got the wisdom to balance it. You say, "I don't understand that." Don't you? And you know, they have found out an awful lot of things. But you know perfectly well that if they don't use these things according to wisdom, we could be in a worse case than we're in today. You imagine now the amount of knowledge they've got in different countries, how to make those great explosives. All we know is the dropping of an atom bomb. One little bomb blew a whole city up. But that was only like a little toy, compared to what they've got now. These explosive powers they've got now. Why, two or three of them could blow a whole country to nothing. And if someone without the wisdom began to play with these things, we might be in trouble. It's like the knowledge of some little boys, you know. I heard of a little fellow whose father and mother thought he was very cute, you know. Very cute. My, he could play with a hammer and he could play with a screwdriver and I don't know all. But he went one day with a screwdriver and began to work with an electric meter. Huh? Lot of knowledge, no wisdom. And there's a lady telling me just recently about a little granddaughter. The little granddaughter had been looking at something she saw on television. Some of these funny little things they show children had to do with a mouse. I don't know a thing about it because I've never seen it. But this little mouse runs into a little hole in the wall. You know, comes out again and does something else and then back at the hole in the wall. And she took something one day and went to an electric outlet and stuck something in there and said, "Come out, little mouse," and got a shock. Yeah, a little bit of knowledge but no wisdom. A lot of people like that, adults are like that. But this man Solomon got wisdom, and he got wisdom from God, the wisdom that cometh from above. You could go to university and you could gain an awful lot of knowledge and it'll cost you a lot of money. If you want the wisdom that cometh from God, you get it for the asking of it. And it won't cost you anything financially. If you lack wisdom, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And God will give it liberally. Wisdom. Wisdom is greater than knowledge, you know. And Solomon got a great amount of wisdom and he got it from God. But behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't require to ask for wisdom. He was wisdom personified. He was the very wisdom of God. Greater than Solomon. Solomon, you know, was the man who built that great temple. A lot of people are interested in Solomon's temple. Must have been a marvelous place. All the gold, silver, things were put into that temple. The vessels were Solomon's temple. But Solomon's temple was destroyed. And all the golden vessels taken away. But the Lord Jesus Christ is building a spiritual temple that shall never be destroyed. He says, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." He's building a spiritual temple that no power on earth or under the earth shall ever be able to destroy. Spiritual temple. Solomon reigned as a king, and he reigned for 40 years, marvelous, 40 years of peace and plenty, prosperity. But his reign came to an end. But Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth his successive journeys run. His kingdom stretched from shore to shore, till moon shall wax and wane no more. No one will take his kingdom from him. Solomon's reign came to an end, for he died. As I've told you before, it's a very interesting thing. It shook me a bit when I first learned it. He made all his mistakes when he was an old man. Died when he was 58. Are you old? And he was an old man. Made his mistakes. Died when he was 58. He died. And his reign came to an end. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am he that liveth and became dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, have the keys of death and of hell. He lives in the power of an indissoluble life. He's the living Lord. Solomon accumulated a lot of wealth. Very wealthy king. They'll still show you the ruins in certain places in the Middle East where he had his stables and where he had horses and so on. Accumulated a lot of wealth. When the Lord Jesus Christ was down here on earth, he lived as a poor man. He was born of poor parents. Mary was a poor woman. He was raised with poor parents. He lived in a poor city. City of Nazareth. He didn't possess any of this world's goods at all. But remember, so far as wealth is concerned, though he were rich, and all the riches of heaven were at his disposal, though he were rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be enriched. All the wealth of heaven and all the wealth in the earth belong to him by right of creation. They're his by right. He's much wealthier than Solomon. And what Solomon had, he had to go away and leave. Couldn't take any of it with him. But Christ is the eternal possessor of all his riches. On earth, Solomon had a throne. And it was a marvelous throne. A throne of ivory overlaid with gold. Must have been beautiful to watch the steps that led up to that throne. Ivory overlaid with gold, with the lions on either side. And the footstool. Imagine anyone trying to approach that throne and seeing that man sitting in all that outward show of glory. But that throne came to an end. But yonder in the book of the Revelation, when John is taken up and he sees the throne, and God says to his son, sit thou there on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. No one will ever be able to take his throne from him. His throne is established, and when you come to the end of the Bible, there's the throne of God and of the Lamb. A rainbow-encircled throne, and all the glory that will be manifested are greater than Solomon is here. Oh, it's true Solomon had wisdom. It's true he had wealth. And there's a special thing said about it. The Queen of Sheba was greatly impressed with his style of worship. She noticed particularly his ascent to the house of God, to the temple. The way he went up and the sacrifices he made, his approach to God and his worship. You see, she didn't worship the living God. She worshipped her idols. But when she saw his approach to the living God and his acceptance, as it were, with God, that impressed her. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't worship He is the one who is worshipped, for he is God the Son. It's at his feet that people fall and crown him Lord of all. Solomon worshipped. The Lord Jesus Christ is greater than Solomon. He is the one who is worshipped. He's the one who is acknowledged. And now when she saw all this, and she beheld his glory, she watched his servants, the way that they sat. That would be when he sat them at the table, the orderliness of his house. And when she saw the food that was brought in by the ministers and laid on the table, no scarcity whatever. She couldn't believe it. There was no spirit left in her. When she saw the style of the house and the way that his ministers were dressed, and the way that they stood there ready to serve him, she says, the half was never told me. This is not exactly what I expected. What I thought I was going to see, why, it's not the half of what I've seen. This is far greater than ever I anticipated. No spirit left in her. She was gripped. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here, says the Lord. Yet when he came to them, now remember, the Queen of Sheba left her place, took the journey in order to prove for herself what she had heard about Solomon, and she was thoroughly convinced. When the Lord Jesus Christ was here on earth, he left his throne in glory, and he came to the people who ought to have recognized him, and they ought to have acknowledged him, but they didn't. They were rejecting him. And because they were rejecting him as he came to them and presented himself to them as the Messiah, as the King, they wouldn't have him. All right, they said, you're looking all the time for signs. You're asking for signs. There's no sign going to be given to you. And so far as the Greeks are concerned, they're always asking for wisdom. Here's the one who's both wisdom and is a sign. For you'll find two things connected together there. He said, also the men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment against you, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. Jonah was a prophet who was sent to them. And they believed Jonah and they repented and turned to God. The Queen of Sheba, she went and took the journey in order to prove for herself what she had heard about Solomon. Now the Lord Jesus Christ comes down and he says, the only sign that will be given is this. As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in that fish, the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the earth. He'll die and be buried. But he'll rise again, and it'll be the great message of the resurrected Christ. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment against this generation if they won't believe in the risen, living Christ. And the Queen of the South will rise as a witness and condemn you in the judgment, because she came when she heard of the wisdom of Solomon. She was thoroughly convinced. But behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Friend, it may be today that in your heart you're facing the same problems as she faced. In spite of all you've acquired in this life, in spite of all you may have accomplished in this life, you're conscious today there's something lacking. There's something to life you haven't got. There's something you have missed. Perhaps you're not sure what it is. You're not able to express it. But there's a problem here. There's a perplexity here. It may be that you're thinking of things you were told when you were a child. Maybe things that you heard a preacher say or a Sunday school teacher say. Now you've watched this person and you've watched that person. And you say, these things do not add up. There's something else I don't understand. Oh, if only I could find God. If only I could get contact with God. If only I could come to know the truth. To know what God is and how He acts with me. And deep down in your heart you're saying, oh, if only, if only. If that's right, why don't you come to Christ, the greater than Solomon? Why don't you get right with Him? Oh, you've heard me quote that little verse often, get right with God. Do it now. Get right with God, He tells you how. Oh, come to Christ, who shed His blood, and at the cross get right with God. Stop looking at people. Stop looking at other folk and condemning them. Come to Christ. He's the answer to your problems. He can offer salvation. He's willing and able to save you now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy kindness to us another morning. We've been looking again at Thy Word. And O God, we think of the man glory crowned at Thy right hand today, the blessed Christ. He who suffered on Calvary, He who shed His precious blood and died in order to provide salvation. No, God, we wonder why it is that men and women won't trust Him. We pray that right here today in this little audience, that some poor struggling soul will see the light at the end of the tunnel and come out to find the Christ. O God, hear us in these things. Bless Thy word now for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's close by singing two verses of a hymn. 251. 251. Almost persuaded now to believe. Almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go Spirit, go Thy way. Some more convenient day on Thee I'll call. Almost persuaded. Notice the words of that last verse. Almost persuaded. Harvest is past. Almost persuaded. Doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail. Almost is but to fail. Sad, sad that bitter wail, almost, but lost. Have you been there again, my friend? Time and time again, you've come to that point, almost, almost, almost. Will you make it today that it'll be altogether? Altogether, not just almost, but altogether. You're going to trust the Savior, aren't you? Why don't you trust Him while we remain seated and sing the first and last verses? And if you do, come and tell us at the end that you've trusted the Savior, will you? Or come and talk to us, we'll be glad to help you. First and last verses, after which the service is over.